Good morning. How are you? Friday, August 7th, 2020. This is the I Am Sorry About Last Night podcast. I am Tom. I'm an alcoholic. Hope everyone's doing well. I'm having a lot of trouble with this podcast today. I don't know. This is the third time I've restarted. Oh, my God. Life keeps coming at me. I'm shucking and jiving. But here it comes. It keeps coming after me. And, you know, one of the great things about being sober today is the freedom. Freedom. And I'm just super grateful for that. And let's talk about it. Talking to a Wednesday, I did a podcast with a friend of mine, Be Soulfish podcast, and it's a podcast about trauma and you know how it's affected you in your life, and you know it's probably a little more than that, but in the gist of it, it's basically a podcast about living through trauma. And I got to do the podcast, and you know, I listed a few things that I thought maybe played roles in my life as far as being traumatic or things that I could have used as being traumatic. The first one was being adopted. And the second one was addiction. I used adoption a lot early in my life as an excuse or a reason for, you know, my problems and a solution. And then my addiction was a huge traumatic event in my life. At the time, it was a lot of fun. I didn't really think about it like that, but what it did to my friends, what it did to my family, what it did really to my future, could have been considered part of any traumatic event that might happen in someone's life. And sharing in the podcast, I talked about, you know, there was a point in my life when I was out in San Diego and I was doing a lot of speed. And you know, I was sharing this with another friend yesterday, and he's like, you used to do meth? And I was like, yeah, I did. But when I said that, when I heard it come out of my mouth, it was like, ugh. You know, it's kind of weird. It was kind of traumatic, you know? And I was trying to explain to him that, you know, how that all started when I was working at a school. I was young. I was like 19, 20. I had to be to work at 7, which was, like, impossible. I mean, I would do it, but, my God, I mean, I used to get to work, I think, at 6:30. I would lay on the floor of the break room and sleep until it was 7, and then I had to start. I mean, that's how pathetic I was. And the guy that I worked with was like, try some of this. You know, have you ever done speed? And I was like, and I'd heard of it and tried it. I mean, out in Albuquerque, we tried everything, but never really got into it. And this guy gave me some, and I tried it, and I was like, wow. Boom, I was awake. I was active. I was into it. I was very focused on what I was doing. And it was basically, the job was really cleaning. You know, I had this job for the summer, cleaning desks, cleaning school rooms. You know, part of my day was taking a razor blade and scraping off tape and glue and any shit that was stuck on a desk. Boogers, I don't know, whatever it was. and trying that stuff, and that would be the beginning. And then after work, we would go over to a park and play horseshoes and drink beer. So that was my really my introduction to like drinking beer on a daily basis with a group of people. And that's what they did, so we all kind of fit in together. That was our thing. And, you know, I was telling my friend that, you know, I couldn't do meth today. You know, it would eliminate all my relationships, all my friendships, all my business. You know, just it would eliminate everything because immediately when that starts, my path changes. It pigeonholes me into this one certain small, very thin alley of life. And that alley consists of people that do meth, people that buy it, sell it, people that steal, people that are up to no good, manipulating other people to get more meth. It's just a small group. And when I got into it, that's the small group that I hung out with. You know, we stayed up all night, we played darts, we drank at bars. I barely had a job, and then I was explaining to him, you know, like any good entrepreneur or capitalist, I learned that if I could sell a little, that I might be able to do it for free. Seemed like the smart thing. I think most people that have struggled with any sort of addiction have gone down that road. Never turns out well. But that was just that life that I lived, and I remember one night riding my bike over to the 7-Eleven. I had meth in my pocket. You know, and I went, you know, straight across the road, up across the train tracks, through the rocks, through an intersection. You know, didn't use any crosswalks, didn't follow any, you know, because when you're on a bike, you really should follow the same laws as a car. You know, if you're turning, you need to get in the turning lane, use your arm, yada, yada, yada. I did none of that. You know, like a maniac just rode across all these streets and ended up at 7-Eleven and a cop pulled me over and frisked me down and did not find the drugs. I was freaking petrified. And I remember he's like, all right, you know, you need to follow the signs. I mean, I had to be high. I had to look high. He's like, you need to follow the sign. You know, you need to follow the rules of a car. You know, get out of here. So I had to get something out of 7-Eleven. So I went to 7-Eleven. I wouldn't come out because he was sitting out there, whether he was doing some paperwork or whatever, but I didn't want to come back out. I'm like, I got off once. It might not happen again. He might reconsider. And I don't remember what happened. He either left or I finally got the courage and I left. But the point of that story was is that I didn't have freedom. You know, if I'm going to live like that, there's a good chance that I could get caught. You know, I don't have freedom. You know, I'm do this, living like that, and you could end up in jail. And when I say freedom, I mean, you know, not being in jail. And, but that's just one example of what, you know, my addiction, you know, the lifestyle that it created. And when I moved to Delaware, I mean, I was deep into the meth game out there. I mean, you know, finally got caught, got arrested, went to jail, went to a Camp West Fork in the Big Bear Mountains, and was there for 101 days. And I remember my dad came and said, listen, we're moving to Delaware. You can go with us, and we'll give you a hand, or you can stay here, and you're on your own. And, of course, I was like, oh, absolutely, I am clean. I am, you know, because I was in jail. I'm clean. I'm ready to start my life. And I was telling my buddy, I got out of jail, and it wasn't jail. It was a probation camp in the mountains. It was like camp, really. But, it, you know, it sucked. But the point was is that while in there, and I mentioned this in other podcasts, I was going to meetings. I was going to do the right thing. I was changing my life. And I got out, and I got high that day or the next day. I don't know what it was, real soon. And luckily, somehow, we pulled it together and got out of Encinitas. Finally got to Delaware. And what the big problem was is that I clearly wasn't ready to get sober. I clearly wasn't ready to give up drugs. But when I got to Delaware, there were no drugs here. I mean, you can maybe find it now, and I'm sure it's gotten around here now, but at the time, that didn't exist. That's when I really turned to alcohol. And I started drinking like I was doing meth. And it just got real bad real quick. But, you know, I couldn't drive at night, but I would. I couldn't have relationships with people because I drank too much. And nobody drank like I did. You know, people would come in and out of my life and, you know, they'd come in and we'd party and drink and they'd be like, oh my God, I've never drank like that before. I can't live like this. Nice to know you, but I'm out. And, you know, I was that guy, you know, if you knew somebody, they're like, oh my God, I'll never forget that night. Worst night of my life. Probably I was there. Because that's just how I was. I just drank like a maniac. And so what ended up happening is I would lose friends. And in the end, I was by myself. One of the first things that I got when I got sober was, I'll never forget this. I was driving home from a meeting. And I thought to myself, you're not drunk. You're not drunk. And I couldn't forget how amazing that felt to be free, which allowed me to drive legally, not drink and drive like I'd been doing. And that was my first taste of like freedom that I had really given up that morning when I tried that meth when I was working for the school district. Now, all of that was by choice. I'm sure most alcoholics, most drug addicts probably have a portion of their experience that was a lot of fun. And that would, I would qualify for that as well. There was a lot of fun we had back in those days. Stayed up all night playing darts. I mean, it was just a big mess, but it wasn't that bad. Somehow I didn't get arrested too many times. I got the one arrest, which was enough. But I know people that were living there that they would get arrested. They'd go on probation, they'd piss dirty, they'd go back to jail, they'd come out, they'd be on probation, they'd piss dirty. It was a revolving cycle, and I could have easily gotten caught up in that, and somehow I got out of there, which really exposed my drinking habit, which eventually show up, which would finally get me to the point when I wanted to start getting sober. And the point of all that is freedom, you know, the freedom that I have today. And sometimes, man, freedom's overwhelming. You know, I didn't have all these issues like I have today, you know, and they're not bad issues. They're great issues. They're normal issues. But sometimes for a guy like me who really kind of avoided life for a long time, it can get a little overwhelming. And that's what the steps of any program that someone might try. You know, those are the steps that are there to help me understand. Like today, when I get a little overwhelmed, I picture my life as kind of like a, I don't know, a flat surface, so to speak. And there's things I do and challenges, but some days like the sides come up and everything pours down to the middle, and they all just seem to show up at the same time. And today feels like one of those days, and I'm just a little bit overwhelmed, but I know really what my issue is, and I've said it before, I'm just being inconvenienced, whether it's through things I have to think about, you know, relationships I have with friends. You know, one of the biggest problems I think I have is that I'm like pre-cynical, you know, like I've seen it all, I've heard it all, save the bullshit. You know, just cut to the chase. Tell me what's up. For some reason, that's always worked better for me. Just tell me what it is. You know, did you find out I skipped school? You know, did you find out I got high? I mean, just save, you know, I don't want to waste my brain thinking about it. And sometimes I carry that into my relationships with other people. And not everybody's like that, you know. Not everybody wants to just cut to the chase. So one of the big things that I have to work on is how I communicate with people. You know, I feel like I'm a very nice guy. I care about everybody. But, like, I'll have to have a conversation with somebody, and I'll say, listen, this is the way it is, this is the way it is. And I'm like, oh, my God, that was so harsh. I'm like, oh, geez, I'm sorry, I didn't know. And so one of the things that I work with today, or work on today, is how I talk to people. I'm not very good at it. I can try to say something, you know, where maybe before I would just spit it out there, and they'd be like, oh, my God, that hurt my feelings. I'd be like, oh, Jesus. Today, I try to be considerate and say things very non-aggressive, friendly. I try. But sometimes that doesn't even sound good. So I guess the point is that I get scared to have conversations with people. It gives me anxiety, especially about, like, you know, things in business. You know, people work for me in the salon. I try to... You know, one day I was at the salon and I said something, and at the end of the day I was leaving, and this one person said, well, maybe tomorrow you'll be nicer to me. And I was like, oh, shit, was I not nice? Did I do something? I'm not feeling very, like, I have a lot of freedom. I wish I could speak better to people. It's something I just kept to keep working on. Kind of weird. Oh, man. Challenges. Yeah. So, but to get back kind of to the point is that, you know, today, and having that conversation with my friend the other day about freedom, and, well, actually the conversation was about my past. But it reminded me how pigeonholed I was in my life. You know, I couldn't freely ride my bike. Everything that I did when I was using, any time that I might end up having a conversation with a cop, the fact is I was probably on drugs. You know, I could have the most, I could follow every rule. And just the fact that I'm on my bike and I had long hair, and it was in the middle of the day, meaning I probably wasn't working. Maybe it's a good opportunity for an officer to have a conversation with me. Hey, what's going on, man? Look at my eyes. Probably had all the signs. You know, I just couldn't go out. I didn't have freedom. And the thing that I'm so grateful for today is that freedom. You know, I can drive any time of the night. You know, my son's working. You know, last night I had to pick him up downtown Rehoboth. You know, summer capital of the world, hundreds of people down there, no parking spots. You know, the town is very small, so, like, in the summer they shut down all the turns. So, like, if you come up to a red light, no right on red, no left turns. And it's that way all through the town. And I can imagine, you know, if I was still drinking or if I was, you know, doing other things, easily breaking one of those rules, easily giving an opportunity to have a conversation to expose that, you know, maybe I'm using. You know, I had a friend of mine, I don't know, many years ago, backed out of a parking spot drunk, just backing out, and a kid on a bike hit the side of his car. Ended up getting a DUI. That's how quick it can happen. So today, you know, driving into Rehoboth last night to pick up my son at 9:15 at night, I'm confident that I am good to go. I'm not going to hit anybody. There was a point, you know, because it's all metered parking, so I'm trying to line up when I'm supposed to pick him up. So I pulled over onto the side of a road that no one's going to check the meter, and I'm texting him, and then he's like, I'm ready. So, I start to pull out, and I look in my rearview mirror, and I see four small little lights, and they're all bicycles. And luckily, they're far enough back. I didn't have to worry about hitting them. But, you know, if I was drunk or high or something that changed the way that I perceive things, I could have hit those kids. And then you're like, Jesus, you know, then that's that humiliation, that ego devastation moment. And I don't have that today. You know, I can go down there. I can pick him up. no issues, drive home, everybody's safe. It's a real freedom, and I'm really grateful for that. It's a blessing to be sober, for me at least today. You know, even though it's been, 94 was probably the last time I ever did any meth. 1994. But when I had that conversation with my buddy, and he's like, "You did meth?" And I was like, "Yeah." I felt bad about it. I was embarrassed. And then I had to explain to him, "Listen, man, you know, that was a life I didn't pick. I mean, I made choices. I didn't realize that that would be the life that I would end up having at the time. Today, 2020, August 7th, I don't choose that today. Because I appreciate the relationship that I have with him. I appreciate the relationship I have with my wife. I appreciate that I have my kids in my life. If I had made a different choice in 1994, I'd have none of this." And, you know, that's a big deal. It's a big deal to me because this is the life that I've always wanted, just to have the freedom to, you know, work and drive and enjoy some of the things that are given to us so freely. Well, we pay for it, sort of, but, you know. Check out the Be Soulfish podcast. It's part of the Social Podcast Network. That's another thing. You know, we built a network. We called it one thing, and then I'm looking back, and I'm like, "God, that wasn't a smart name. I'm going to have to change that." But that was the name that I came up with, so I'm feeling like that's kind of stirring up some things. I was telling someone, I've always been great at starting things. It's completing them. And, you know, we provided a network for people, local people, to do podcasting, and I want to do a good job for them. You know, when I started podcasting, not that I'm some great podcaster, but, you know, I started podcasting in my kitchen with my wife. And I got equipment and I put something together. And then a friend of mine, Tiffany, she's like, "I want to try." And her eyes lit up and she was so excited. And it's just started from there. And I just want to keep giving these podcast folks a great opportunity, a great platform. And Be Soulfish Podcast is one of them. And she's, you know, texting me, "Oh my God, I'm so excited," and I love that. You know, I wasn't helping anybody. I wasn't providing anybody anything back in those days. Not in the meth days, especially not in the alcohol days. You know, meth, we had a lot of fun doing that, but you can't live that lifestyle. It'll ruin you. Your health, you know, you lose everything physically. You replace every cool thing with something used or something that someone's given you, some piece of crap that somebody's, you know, "Oh, that's a broken down stereo. Maybe I can fix it." It's just this weird life, and it just runs you into the ground. Luckily, I got out of that game, but the alcohol, that's the one that just grinded my spirit down to that point where I was thinking about shooting myself in the head with that little bow and arrow. That's how sick I'd gotten. But I don't have that today. Super grateful. Very grateful today. And I have freedom. And, you know, whatever I want to do today, I can try, you know. The only thing that screws me up these days is self-centered fear. And, you know, I don't know if that'll ever go away. I work on it, but that's my only prison today is what I'm afraid of. And I'll keep working on it. I hope everyone has a great day. Be Soulfish Podcast. Check it out. Check out all our podcasts. There's another podcast, Anonymous. Super great podcast. Jenna brings on folks, and they share their recovery story anonymously. I love that. Yeah. So check it out. Podcast Social Network. Com. All right, everyone, have a great day. Enjoy your weekend.
Like a chain on Tim.